Welcome to the Inside Out Institute podcast. My name is Steph Boulay, and this is the third mini episode in our Research Bite series. These episodes were recorded at a think tank for the Australian Eating Disorders Research and Translation Centre, which is a national consortium led by Inside Out. During the think tank, researchers from across the globe gathered in Sydney to help the centre draw up a blueprint for eating disorder research and, of course, its translation into practice. In this episode, we speak with Cameron Eddy, who is on the International Advisory for the Centre. Cameron is co-director of the Eating Disorders Clinical and Research Program at Massachusetts General Hospital and associate professor at Harvard Medical School. I started by asking her to tell us a little bit about her research.
So I am a clinical psychologist by training, and my focus is really on restrictive eating disorders. So I focus on trying to understand first the longitudinal course of these illnesses in kids, adults, and then really to try and understand what mechanisms might be driving both time to recovery as well as things that may be keeping people ill over time. And some of the ways that I do that are by studying the neurobiology of these illnesses.
So the restrictive disorders have less evidence-based in therapies and things like that. What are you finding, do you think, are target points?
So one of the disorders that we've gotten really interested in lately has been ARFID, avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. So this is what you might think of as picky eating, but it's certainly not just picky eating. It's folks who have a really difficult time with volume or variety of their food intake, and that could be for a number of different reasons. Really different from the more typical eating disorders, these aren't people who are restricting their intake because they want to be thin or because body image is something that's important to them. Instead, they're restricting their intake because they're motivated by sort of finding foods taste really strong or really different to them, or they're really sensitive to different tastes or textures, but maybe also because they just don't have a high drive for eating. They have sort of low appetite. They're not as rewarded by food, or even because they've been traumatized by food somehow. They've had a negative experience with choking or vomiting or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so what our team has done is tried to develop a new treatment for that. I'm really helping them to get practice with eating in a slow way from the foods that they've been avoiding.
Great. What are you most excited about in eating disorder research right now?
I think what I'm really feeling excited about is trying to do what we can now to move from the idea that we have a number of really good treatments, right? We have family-based treatment, we have cognitive behavioral therapies. We know that they work for a good number of people. So let's get the people who we know will benefit from those treatments to access that treatment and get well. And then for the people who don't get well from those treatments, we need to think outside of the box. And typically that means trying to not go back to the same things that we've always done. I think we really need to innovate there. And that's where I hope that a lot of the work that our teams and others are doing to try and understand the biological and neurobiological bases of these illnesses can help us identify new targets for treatments to make them more efficient.
What are your hopes for the Australian Eating Disorder Research and Translation Centre?
Well, I couldn't be more excited about it. I mean, I think that they've brought together a number of really awesome and talented people with really creative and different ideas. So one of the things I'm really impressed by is that they definitely have brought together people with a lot of different diverging backgrounds and diverging expertises. And I think that's really what we need to do in order to move the field forward. So my hope is that we will come up with some brand new ideas to think about how to actually help people continue to get better.
Yeah. And one final one, a little bit more personal. What drew you to the field of eating disorders?
So that's a huge one. I mean, a million things drew me to this. One of the stories that I tell the most often is that when I was a kid, when I was 16, one of my very good friends, Kelly, had anorexia. And you know, she was new to our school. Nobody really talked about it. Nobody really asked her about it. And I asked her about it. And what I learned was that, you know, she'd been sick already for a couple of years at 16. And more importantly, she had been told, you know, that she had osteoporosis and that she would never be able to have kids. And I remember being struck at 16 that she could already have been given like a life sentence basically from this illness, and just how horrible that was. And it got me very interested in trying to actually do what we could to make things different. And I will say that, you know, Kelly went on to recover. She became a nurse, and she has a daughter and is doing well in her life. And so I guess what I appreciate about that story too is that I think we as professionals have a really powerful role, that our words matter quite a bit. And I think we need to be careful with the way that we think with patients. And my hope is always that people will fully get better because I've seen it.
To find out more about Cameron's work, check out the links in the show notes. I've also put a link there to find out more about the Australian Eating Disorders Research and Translation Centre and about Inside Out Institute for Eating Disorders. Bye.
If you or a loved one needs support, please head to our website or call the National Eating Disorders Helpline at Butterfly on 1800 ED HOPE or 1800 33 46 73.